this morning.
You're
doing a sermon, aren't you? If I've got my notes, I'll have it for you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you here on this hot summer. We are having a hot summer this year, I'll tell you. And we also welcome those who will be worshiping with us throughout the week and the coming days through our CD ministry. And also need to say our website as well, because Bart gets the sermons posted on there usually by Sunday afternoon. So they're also on our website. And which is www.woodsfieldpc.com, I think. Don't quote me on that. I've got to get it memorized. Other announcements for today. Somehow or another, I hit two twos instead of a 2-0. This Tuesday, July 20th, at 8:30 a.m., Presbyterian women are meeting at McDonald's for breakfast, and they invite all women to join them. Men, you're on your own. So women, come to Mickey D's this Tuesday, July 20th at 8:30. Also, too, this Thursday, someone's meeting at St. Paul's. And Trinity, you have an insert. Trinity United Church of Christ will be having their homemade ice cream social. It is a free will offering. Good food, good ice cream, good toppings, wonderful pies and cakes. I'm sure they hope to see you all there. Also, too, on the back side of that, again, Presbyterian women are collecting the items for Laughlin's Chapel. Our pencils and regular pencils, colored pencils, pens, notebooks, notepaper. We know all the things they need. And this needs to be, let's see, August 8th will be the last Sunday. That is the Sunday we have communion to bring in these items. And Bob and Erlene will be taking them to Laughlin Chapel by the 17th. So please bring those in. Again, next Sunday, we will not be here. We will be out at Buchanan for their regular 9 o'clock worship service. And this is, I think, just going to be a really fun and enjoyable service. There are different musicians from the Weber families that will be playing. We've got a couple of contemporary praise songs in the middle of the worship service they'll be doing. Someone else will be doing the offertory, but Marcia will be there as well. So, and then the Reverend Mary Weber Saylor from Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Phoenix, Arizona, will be preaching next week. So it should be a packed church and a fun day. So please try to make it. And if you need a ride out or assistance, we've got you covered. We'll get you out there. So just give someone a call. Give myself a call, the van drivers, whoever's on for next week. Who is that? Do we know offhand? We'll check the calendar. Let us know. And I will be going to a retreat at the Sisters of St. Joseph's up in Wheeling. I will be in worship next Sunday, though, out at Buchanan. And then I will be gone on August 1st, and Bob Owens will be delivering our message for that day and leading you all in worship. And then again, communion on August 8th. Are there any other announcements that we need to cover here this morning? Hi, welcome. Any? All right. Hear these sentences of Scripture. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let us worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are invited to rise in body, heart, mind, spirit. Let us join together in our call to worship this Sunday. In the rush of busy weekends, come and find a place of rest. In the frantic pace of anything but leisure recreation, come and find a gift of renewal and recreation. With things to do and people to see and places to be, come into community with God and others. Come to be and sing praises to the Holy One. Let us pray. Be present in our prayers and praising as we, our hearts and souls, are raising in adoration. Praise and prayer are present here because you share your presence in our midst. Inspire us with heaven's holy fire. Burn anew that we may claim this transformation in your name. Amen. Our opening hymn, "All Pale the Power of Jesus' Name," number 268. Sunday. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Praying together, saying, God of Martha and Mary, help us strike a faithful balance in our lives. Forgive us when we overindulge ourselves and get nothing done. Forgive us when we are so preoccupied with agendas and priorities that we do nothing worth doing. Center us in your presence with us, that we may know the joy of being with you. Call us to account. Create in us a pure heart. Clear away in the chaos a place that is calm and serene, where you, who always speaks, can finally be heard. here among us, the people of God. We have come to hear comfort and challenge, encouragement and prophecy. Hear our confession, accept our plea, transform our lives. Let us enter into a time of silent reflection and prayer. Amen. Be of good heart. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transformed us into a people of Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise. Living God.
First reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 28. Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn Son, superior to all created things. For through him God created everything in heaven and on earth, the seen and the unseen things, including spiritual powers, lords, rulers, and authorities. God created the whole universe through him and for him. Christ existed before all things, and in union with him, all things have their proper place. He is the head of his body, the church. He is the source of body's life. He is the firstborn son who was raised from death, in order that he alone might have the first place in all things. For it was by God's own decision that the Son has in himself the full nature of God. Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his Son's blood on the cross, and so brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven. At one time you were far away from God, and were his enemies because of the evil things you did and thought. But now, by means of the physical death of his son, God has made you his friends in order to bring you holy, pure, and faultless into his presence. You must, of course, continue faithful on a firm and sure foundation, and must not allow yourselves to be shaken from the hope you gained when you heard the gospel. It is of this gospel that I, Paul, being a servant, this gospel which has been preached to everybody in the world. And now I am happy about my suffering for you, for by means of my physical sufferings, I am helping to complete what still remains of Christ's suffering on behalf of his body, the church. And I have been made a servant of the church of God, who gave me this task to perform for your good. It is the task of fully proclaiming his message, which is the secret he had through all past ages from all human beings, which is now revealed to his people. God's plan is to make known his secret to his people, this rich and glorious secret which he has for all peoples. And the secret is that Christ is in you, which means that you will share in the glory of God. So we preach Christ to everyone with all possible wisdom, warn and teach them in order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature individual in union with Christ. Our responsive reading is Psalms number 52. The lectern side will read the odd verses with me, and the pulpit side will read the even verses with Pastor Susan. This can be found on page 628 of the Pew Bible. Why do you boast, great one, of your evil? God's faithfulness is eternal.
You make plans to ruin others. Your tongue is like a sharp razor. You are always inventing lies.
You love evil more than good, and falsehood more than truth.
You love to hurt people with your words, you liar.
So God will ruin you forever. He will take hold of you and snatch you from your home. He will remove you from the world of the living.
Righteous people will see this and be afraid. Then they will laugh at you and say,
look, here is someone who did not depend on God for safety, but trusted instead in great wealth, security in being wicked.
But I am like an olive tree growing in the house of God. I trust in his constant love forever and ever.
I will always thank you, God, for what you have done.
In the presence of your people, I will proclaim that you are good. Our gospel reading this Sunday is found in the gospel according to Luke, continuing on in Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I am reading from the English Standard Version, and you may follow along if you wish in the Pew Bible on page 97. Luke 10, 38, 42, a very familiar story yet again this week. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to get up. Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of all creation, God of all that is seen and unseen, Lord Jesus Christ, our God in flesh, be with us in this moment, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, may be acceptable to you this day and as we go forth your people. We pray this and ask this, O Lord, in your Son's name, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I could start out this sermon similar to how I started out last week's sermon, that familiarity can breed contempt. How many times do we have to hear some of these same old stories? But yet, we are human beings and creatures of habit ourselves, and we can slip into habitual behaviors. And this story about Martha and Mary is our story of how we can lose sight, lose our focus, and, well, become anxious and troubled. Now, this story has been interpreted in many ways. There are those today who from the pulpit may tell you that this is a story that says, well, women don't belong in the pulpit. This is a story that, as Jesus tells Martha, that she should stop worrying about her serving and her doing ministry and should just come sit and listen to Jesus and just be a woman of prayer and be a woman of, well, going out and teaching Sunday school. And there are those who probably will preach this sermon this way about Mary and Martha, come out of that place of service. Well, needless to say, I'm not going to preach that story. There are some who will also preach this story about Mary and Martha as one of service versus the contemplative life, choosing one or the other. Where do you feel called? And as you know, I enjoy that contemplative place, but I am also called to a place of service, Martha being the one who serves and Mary being the more contemplative one. I think the last time I preached this sermon 3 years ago, as it comes around every 3 years, I probably talked about that balance of how we do our service and enter into a time of prayer. But I'd like to dig a little deeper, pull out the spade this time instead of just the little hand shovel, and look at this scripture, look at Mary and Martha, as to who these women were in their time, as well as how this story speaks to us in Luke's gospel. First, we are told that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. Not really quite sure where Lazarus is in this one, but in this story, this is Martha's house. Now, there was a feeling in that first century Palestine that, well, a woman's place was in her home. She was the head of her household. And that the man's place was outside the house in the community, in government and governing, and that was the man's place. And so a woman was to just tend to her own house. Don't worry about or gossip about or be concerned about all the neighbors, just your own home. Well, as Martha is concerned about her home today, we can guess, since she has invited Jesus in and welcomed him in, that there was a great deal going on in her household before this day came about. I'm sure she was dusting and cleaning, and I'm sure she had Mary going about some of those tasks as well. There was food to prepare, pots and pans to get clean, maybe even like we do on the holidays, we pull out our best china and our best stemware, and if you have sterling silver that's even been passed on to you, I received some from a great aunt, You may even polish it up and bring it out. Well, be rest assured, Martha had much work to do that day as well. I mean, even laying mulch, well, or that's a task to be done when we're preparing for guests in our home. And you men that are involved in the organizations that you do, although we tend to think of this as being woman's work, you know, when our firemen or the lodges have a meal, there is much work to be done. It is often said in the church that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And if you think about most organizations that you're involved in, because human nature is human nature, 20% of the people are probably doing about 80% of the work. But that's kind of what we're focusing on here today, is this work that Martha's doing. For you see, she started out these tasks, I would assume, with great joy in her heart. She is preparing her home. She is preparing this meal for Jesus. No peanut butter and jelly sandwiches were going to be offered to him that day, unless, of course, that was his favorite and what he requested. Jesus was getting the meal of all meals, the family recipes, the grandmother, the great-grandmother's recipes. This was a special day. Jesus was coming. And as Mary is helping her and looking out the window, anticipating his coming, and then sees him, well, Mary's just so overcome with excitement that he's here that she leaves the kitchen and goes dashing out the house to greet him. How was your trip? How are you? Do you feel well? Are you hungry? Can I get you some water, some iced tea, some lemonade, something to drink? Please come in, sit down, rest your weary bones. Let me wash your feet. And Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. Well, along in about this time, the hair on the back of Martha's hair, back of Martha's neck starts to stand up. Because there is work to be done, pots and pans to be washed, there are dishes to be put on the table, silverware to be gotten out, there is still work to be done, there are still vegetables to be cut, diced, and sliced. And Mary has the audacity to just sit out in the living room with Jesus. I'm sure most of us can kind of relate to that feeling. You're working your tail end off, and you had help, and then all of a sudden you look out, and the help is sitting out in the other room, having a Coke, resting, because it's hot in that kitchen. The air conditioning is not working very well today. And, you know, you've been there for, gosh, at least a half an hour, an hour. And Mary, well, Martha is just fit to be tied, and so she stands in the doorway, but she doesn't glare at Mary. She says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Well, that's kind of interesting in and of itself, that she addresses Jesus. I guess she's assuming that as the guest in the house, he must have some authority over her, and he would say, "Mary, go finish helping your sister so that I might eat." I mean, would Jesus not take that little self-centered attitude himself? No, it's not the way he answers. Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." You see, in this time of service, when Martha was starting out this meal, it was starting out as a place of joy and excitement, for it was being prepared for Jesus. And what else could possibly matter except that she was inviting him into her home? And this was, well, quite honestly, a scandalous thing for her to do, to invite him into her home. I mean, here she was, a single woman. I mean, Lazarus is around somewhere, but we're not told where, because we're told she welcomed him into her home. And Mary, a single woman, and they have this single man in their home. But yet, Martha was just so full of love for Jesus and who he was and his teaching that she didn't care what everybody else would say. But sometime in the preparation of this meal, she lost sight of that, and she just let her human nature step in the way of Jesus. She gets distracted, and she keeps watching Mary out in the other room, and then she loses her tongue to Jesus. Not to Mary, but to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't comment on her serving and the work that she's doing, which we so oftentimes just kind of assume that that's what he has chastised her for. What he has said is, you are anxious and troubled. You are worried about many things, but only one thing is necessary. I kind of wonder what Jesus' response would have been if Martha were out in the kitchen still preparing this meal and singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," or "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," or "Amazing grace." If she were singing in joy to him out in the kitchen, if he would have been laughing, maybe humming the tune with her, how much praise and joy there would have been in that moment. Would he have said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things"? Because that's what happens sometimes. We start out in one place. We get excited about having family and friends come over for that festive meal, and then the work starts to overwhelm us. It's not getting done as quickly as it needed to get done. We're not getting everything done we wanted to do, and we start to get anxious, and we start to get irritable. And then by the time the family gets there, we're in a bad mood. We're chopping off people's heads, and it's just a crappy time. And after everyone's left, we wonder, what the heck happened? Because you started out in such a good place. Martha's, Martha's. Y'all out there, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But Mary has chosen the good portion. Now, Mary is another one here. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, not just gazing into his eyes, but we are told by Luke that she listened to his teaching. Again, in the first century Palestine, this was a grave issue for the church, women being taught scripture. There is an old Jewish saying that it is better to toss the Torah, holy scripture, into the fire than to teach a woman. And here Mary sits being taught by Jesus. And this teaching is about God, the good portion. That word good is the translation from the original Greek. And what is good? God is good. And whatever she learns, whatever she receives about God in the flesh of Jesus Christ can never be taken from her. There is a time management guru at Harvard who talks about how we can have priorities in A, B, and C. And lots of times we tend to focus on those C priorities. And your C priorities are things that are relatively important, not as important as the A things, but we can get them taken care of quickly. And so we become busy with those C accomplishments. And we never get to those A things, the most important things, because they're harder. They're more difficult to do. They're more difficult to fit into our day, or they may take a period of time to happen. There's something that becomes more stressful about those really important things. Well, for Martha to just let things go in the kitchen and let the meal just take its place and maybe listen to the teachings of Jesus, the good portion, the godly things, which would have been more difficult for her at that time. She focuses on those C priorities and gets anxious and worried and nervous about everything because there's so much to be done. The C priority versus the A's. Being a Martha, and it's not the service, it's not the task, it's the heart and intention with which she does it. There is a story about two sisters that as they went to college, they drifted away from church. They go off, they get married, they have children, and one of the sisters begins to reconnect with church. And she raises her children in the church and finds great joy in serving the church and attending church, and her husband dies. And she's talking to the pastor one day, and she says to him, "You know, it's as if I have been preparing for this time all my life, as I've come every Sunday and worshiped God and listened to the sermons and prayed, I have been preparing to be able to get through this difficult time." Well, shortly thereafter, the other sister's husband died, but this sister had never gone to church. She felt alone. She had no faith to turn to. And this sister, in trying to deal with her grief, fell into depression, and she finally ended up institutionalized for professional help. The sister who had gone to church went to see her institutionalized sister one day, and after leaving and seeing the pastor, she said of her sister, "Poor thing, when it came time for her to let down her bucket, deep down, she found out that there was no water in the well." Our A priorities versus our C priorities, those tasks that we go about that cause us worry and anxiousness and concern, but we can get them done quickly and easily, versus the ones at the real heart and matter of life, the good portions, the things that we do for the glory of God, which actually is everything we do. Because if Christ is at the center of every action, whether it's opening a door for someone or smiling to someone or helping someone carry a bag of groceries out or fixing a meal for our loved ones, it is all prayer for the glory of God. And done with that merry heart, done with Jesus at the center as we pay attention to the good portion, it can never be taken away from us. So this day, as you go about your tasks, and into the week as you go about your tasks and your work and the busyness of your lives, and you start to grumble and gripe and complain and get anxious and worried and troubled, and you're just fit to be tied and don't know what to do, remember this story. You slipped into that Martha moment. Slip back into that Mary moment. And remember that Christ is at the heart of everything that we do. There's one other thing that is important to point out that Luke has done here. I'll try to do it briefly. Last week, we heard about the Good Samaritan who did the right thing. This week, we hear about Mary and Martha. And Martha starts out doing the right thing, but then she loses track of why. But Mary is doing the right and good thing by staying focused on God. And just in case we might wonder how in the world we can do this all the time when we do want to get anxious and troubled and worry and just overly concerned with all the stuff of our lives. The next place we move in Scripture with Luke is the Lord's Prayer. An accident? No, I don't think so. It's intentional. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are the ones who are doing God's work in this world. With the merry heart, we do Martha's work. And give us this day our daily bread. If we don't think we can get through what we need to get through, this meal or this task or whatever it is, well, God will give us that daily bread, that strength, that courage, whatever it is, God will give it to us. Remember that. So, Mary, Martha, you figure it out. You decide when and where you're going to be, who, and Jesus will be there with you, saying, remember the good portion. It will never leave you. Amen. Our next hymn is Blessed Assurance, number 144. As we enter into this time of prayer, let us have a time of quiet prayer for listening to God's stirrings in our hearts for what we feel called to share in our time of prayer. Let us pray. Amen. You are now invited into a time of sharing prayer, where we share our joys, our concerns, our thanksgivings. What prayers do you feel called to share this day? Earlene has two more days of treatment. Her asthma in this weather, I know it's affecting some other people as well, so two more days of treatment for her. Tom.
We have mercies for our Japanese exchange student who will be coming all the way from Japan this week to stay with us.
Oh, cool. Tom and Nan and the kids have a Japanese exchange student coming from for a month, and she... Do you know, girl, boy?
He.
He will be coming this week. So how old is he?
13.
Coming from Japan, so travel mercies for him.
It's a long way to travel by yourself.
It is a long way to travel by yourself, especially if it's the first time.
And he does not speak English well.
Okay. And he doesn't speak English well. I can count to 10 in Japanese and sing in Japanese. I'm not sure how good a song it is, but... I learned it in third grade, of all the things. I had a teacher, Mrs. Boyd, in third grade, who taught us how to count to 10, and she taught us a song to sing. Like I said, maybe I'll come over and sing it so he can have a good laugh and learn the words again. We also asked Traveling Mercies. Bart and Joyce aren't here today because they were out at Buchanan. They wanted to go out to Buchanan this week because they're going to be gone next week. They've got some vacation time coming up, so they'll be on the road. And then also with our Weber reunion out there at Buchanan in the Louisville area, there will be many of them traveling, so we hold Traveling Mercies for them as well. So a lot of us are going to and fro right now for vacations and different things, so... Traveling mercies for a lot of people. What other prayers do you feel called to lift up this day?
Just glad to be here. Glad to see everybody.
It is nice to have you with us.
And I enjoyed the CD ministry. That's better than not being, I can't be here, that's the next closest thing.
That is the next closest thing. Good. We're glad you're here, Pandora. Any others? Is it honestly a splint, or did you? I was afraid that you had actually cut the cast and that was a taped up cast. I couldn't quite tell. Well, Mick is in a splint, so prayers that he's healing well. Any other prayers this day? Seems like there's more, but let us hold these prayers and any others that may come to mind now, let us lift them to God. Holy One, we give you thanks that we can sit at your feet to learn from you, to be guided by you, to be shown the way through your Son, the way to love and kindness and generosity toward all. We give you thanks, O Lord, that we can sit at your feet and bring all our prayers to you, those for family and friends, those for our own healing and guidance in life. You tell us to just come to you, to love you with all our mind, our heart, our body, and our soul. It is so little to ask, and yet we are so easily distracted from you. Bring our hearts toward you, O God. In your patience, in your love, in your mercy, in your grace, time and time again, O Lord, every moment of every day, from the day of the beginning of life through all eternity, you call us and we turn. As we leave this place this day, may we be refueled, re-energized by sitting at your feet, that when someone reaches to us and we tend to just be too worried or anxious or in our own busyness and stuff, that we might stop and realize that it is you they need to see. It is your light, your love, your kindness, your grace and mercy that you call us to share as your people. Give us that merry heart in the Martha-ness of our lives. We give you thanks, O Lord, that we can lift up all our prayers today, spoken and unspoken, and that we can pray for those that we call by name to you, to Brenda Rice, Bill Rice, Gina Most, Sarah Hall, Glenna Joy Graham, Virginia Lee Morris, Jim Newhart, Reverend Robert Phillips, Sandra Turner, Tom Billings, Mary Jo Hammond, Jack Hammond, Sarah and Sean Galilean, Aiden Russell, Mike Caravel, Carly Sue Williams, Ashley Shoemaker, John Patzer, Mary Morris, Ronald Bub Howell, Linda Hanna, Jennifer Edgel, Monica Long, Rick Williams, Sally Jackson, Gabriel Kayetta, Chuck Henning, Donna Beery, Mitch Cliff, Danny Olam, Bob LaCrone, Isla Forney, Cecile Waters, Bill Hoag, Joe Fetty, Mike Hines, Charlotte Schuerman, Linda Andrews, and all who ask us to pray, O Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts. And now let us pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. One thing I did forget to say before our start of our prayer time is Gloria Jean West Godwin is doing well. Her cancer treatments have gone well. She has been removed. And the Patterson boys, your mom had put them both on, Gloria Jean West Godwin and wasn't it the Patterson boys, or was it a boy and a girl? I had it written down at home and I forgot to bring it. Marlene, I apologize, and to the Pattersons, Petersons as well. My old age is setting in. They have been removed as well because they are doing well. So again, the names that are on our prayer list are on there because someone has put them on and requested that they be read on Sunday mornings. And the name remains there until that person requests that it be removed. So now, it is time for our offering. As you give, be prepared to receive. Let us pray together, saying, our hands are open, our hearts are open. Speak to us, Spirit of God. Speak through us, Spirit of God. Open our eyes to the vision of what our gifts may accomplish. With your guidance and through your strength, we entrust into your keeping and care these gifts with intention and purpose. These things we pray in your name. Amen. You have chosen the better part. You have chosen Jesus. Go forward in service and prayer. Our closing hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, number 260. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you, that you might reflect Christ's light to others. The Lord be kind and gracious to you, that you might be kind and gracious to all people you meet. The Lord give you peace, that you might be an instrument of peace everywhere that you go. Amen. Go in peace.